we're going to share about the heart of God. Amen. We're going to share about the heart of God, and we're going to read from the story of Jonah. Jonah in the Bible. And amazingly, this is a chapter that you can read and finish in 10 minutes. And it has a lot of blessings, and we're going to read it today. And we're going to also take some words from it, and we're going to understand it. Amen. So we're going to read Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says, "Now the word of God, the Lord, came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.'" So this is what God is saying. The word of God comes to Jonah. He's a prophet. He's told, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it. That means go and pronounce judgment over Nineveh, because their wickedness has come up before me. So God had already confirmed that these guys were wicked, eh? And it has come out before me. So Jonah is told to go. Verse 3, "But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and they threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep." May you not have a Jonah in your house, eh? Because they know they're going the wrong direction, but they are sleeping. "And the captain came to him and said, 'What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish.'" You know, it's always good if you go to the next slide. You can always look at maps. Look, there are Bibles that give you maps. And you need to imagine, and you can see where was... yes. Okay, good. Yes, so now he was here in Jerusalem. Then the word of the Lord comes to him, tells him to go where? Go to Nineveh. Now, the Assyrians, they were the people that took the northern kingdom captive, because the Israelites were split into two, the northern kingdom, 10 tribes, and then the southern kingdom, 2 tribes. Now, when the northern kingdom were sinned against God, they were captured by the Assyrian kingdom. The Assyrians came from there. And the thing about the Assyrians is that they will scatter your people. They will bring new people to your home, different multitudes. And that's why the northern kingdom is lost today. For Israel, we only have 2 tribes left of the 12 tribes, because only the southern kingdom remained because of David. Remember the covenant of God to David. Now, Jonah is told by God, go to Nineveh. He decides to take the opposite direction. He decides to come down to Joppa, and then he enters a ship, and the ship is going where? To Tarshish. Tarshish is somewhere here. So, instead of going to Assyria, to Nineveh, he decides to go to Tarshish. So, you can imagine how serious it was. You're told to go, but you go in the opposite direction. Yet you know the word of the Lord. In fact, the Bible says he left the presence of the Lord and he went to Tarshish. Now, the Assyrians actually were very wicked, and Nineveh was actually referred to be the blood city. They would torture people. In fact, if their form of torture was enjoyment, they would hang people, they would put them on sticks. You know, there was extreme torture. They are known for war, mass murder, brutality, witchcraft. They are full of lies, robbery, and even prostitution. This was Nineveh. They were very wicked. You can imagine the most wicked nation,
I don't, you know, in the world you can think about it now. There were 5 times more than that. And the Bible, and you know what we see is that Jonah, the reason why Jonah ran away was not that because he did not know the voice of God, but he actually wanted those guys to be punished. In fact, he was very happy that judgment has come for Nineveh. And so he said, why should I go? Because if I preach to them, I know they will repent and God will forgive them. And I don't want God to forgive them. Have you ever had someone who has hurt you so much that you just wanted to go to hell? Or their community that have been persecuting the Christians that you don't even want to preach to them. Why? So that they go to hell. Let them go and burn in fire. Now, this was a kind of Nineveh. People who have tortured, maybe to the step-parent, has tortured you so much that you just want them to die and go to hell. If you hear they are sick, you start saying, thank God, this is what we pray for. You pray that God will punish them. Maybe someone broke your heart. These are the Ninevehs. Now, Jonah, instead of going to Nineveh, he goes in the opposite direction. He pays his fare like any other customer, enters, starts to go. Now, as they go, what happens there? It's turbulence. The wind comes, and the guy is asleep. Sleeping, yet people are crying. He knows. You know, when you're going in the wrong direction and things are wrong, and things start to go wrong, you know that you're in the wrong direction. You know you're in the wrong relationship, so you cannot blame anyone. You just know, I know I'm doing the wrong thing. So when things are wrong, I cannot blame anyone. Let's read verse 7. The Bible says, and they say to one another, come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. They say to him, please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you? Verse 9. So he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he told them. Then they say to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me. Now Jonah, he is ready to die as long as Nineveh is punished. You just throw me into the water. I don't mind. I will die, but those guys are going to be punished. Because you know when God declared judgment over a city, think of Sodom and Gomorrah. Fire and brimstone. Sulfur, fire and brimstone. Think of the time of Noah. The flood destroyed everything. So when he knew that God had declared judgment over Nineveh, he was ready, even if I die, it is fine. Then let's go to verse 13. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore they cried out to the Lord and said, we pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done it as you pleased. So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. So the moment they threw Jonah out of the boat into the water, then the sea became calm. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Can you imagine that even in the madness of the prophet, even in the misdirection that he was going, God still prepared a fish to swallow Jonah? Imagine, you know, people will argue, how is it possible? But with God, all things are possible. But why was it so? Because it is a sign for us. Because the Bible tells us that Jesus said, he told them that I will only tell you of the parable of Jonah. So Jesus was in the grave 3 days. And so Jonah was also in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Now, in the stomach of the fish, we can see that Jonah starts to cry out to God. Jonah chapter 2 verse 1. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord God from the fish belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my afflictions, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your billows and your waves are over me. Then I say, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look towards your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars behind me closed forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. And I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. You know, the scriptures, I mean, if you're an ardent reader of scriptures, you'll always see Christ even in the Old Testament. You can see even this prayer that Jonah is making. If you put Christ there, you can see Christ there. How when Christ went into the grave, went into hell, he cried out to God. Every enemy surrounded him, but he looked unto God, and God raised him from the dead. 3 days and 3 nights, Jonah was in the belly of the stomach. You can imagine it was dark. You can imagine he was wondering, will he get out? Will he be swallowed? Will he be digested? But God had prepared the fish. At times there are troubles that come to us that God has prepared to just keep us for a season. You might have been thrown into the water, but there is a fish that will preserve you. Now, you would have thought that after Jonah coming out, you know, the Lord speaking to the fish to vomit it out, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Did you think Jonah went immediately to Nineveh? No. Let us read Jonah chapter 3. The Bible says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. That means God had to speak again. So he was vomited on dry ground. That means he was returned to where he was running away from. I think he went back home. He relaxed a bit. He said, let those guys be judged. He said, let those guys be judged. Let them go to hell. Let them be burnt. Let judgment come. But the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So Jonah goes to the city of Nineveh. You can imagine the Bible is telling us it was such a big city that for you to go across it, you need 3 days walking. One corner to the other. Some of our cities like Cox Bazar is just 10 minutes. From here to here, Kolatoli, you're finished with the city. But 3 days, it was such a big city. And so he started and he goes and cries out to God. He says, 40 days. Nineveh will be overthrown. Nineveh will be overthrown. He's going everywhere. You can imagine he's just 40 days. Nineveh will be overthrown. He goes to the next corner. Goes. And he continues. But
Bible says the people of Nineveh, they believed and repented. Jonah chapter 3 verse 5. The Bible says, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth. From the greatest to the least of them, the word of the Lord came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth in ashes, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast nor herd nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he will bring upon them, and he did not do it. The whole people of Nineveh, the Bible says, they believed the message of Jonah, believed the word that indeed judgment is coming, and they went into repentance. They called a fast, a sacred assembly, they put on sackcloth, and you can imagine, no animal, no human being, no animal is to eat anything or even to touch water. 3 days, they took down their idols, they cried from the bottom of their heart. Even the king himself removed his clothes, put on sackcloth, and the Bible says God heard their repentance. Everyone, when they hear God and they repent, God will forgive them. That murderer, when they hear from God and they repent, God forgive them. That persecutor, that person that kills Christians, that person that is a rapist, if they hear from God and they repent, God will forgive them. This is the truth. God forgives everyone that comes to him. The people of Nineveh cried out to God, and God decided to forgive them. Now Jonah the prophet, he became angry. Jonah chapter 4, the Bible says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly that he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, ah, Lord, was this not what I said when I was still in my country? You told me to come here to preach to these guys, but I knew that you are going to forgive them. Therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Now, therefore, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Jonah was very suicidal. He can't believe that God is forgiving these people. How? These guys need to see fire. They need to see pepe. They need to see judgment from God. That's how at times we feel of unbelievers. And they continue in unbelief. They continue in sin. They continue in wickedness. They continue abusing. They continue, you know, deceiving. They continue stealing. And they continue hurting you, but yet God still wants them to be saved. Yet God says, if they repent, God is slow to anger, abounding in love, and merciful. Verse 4, then the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade, till he might see what will become of the city. You can see how much of he was enjoying the punishment. In fact, when he was preaching to them, he was like, you people, you're going to be destroyed. And he's like, yes, you deserve it. Huh? So he goes out of the city, sits down, and he's like, let me watch. I want to see that fire coming from heaven. I want to see how they will be destroyed. Jonah is like many of us.
There are people who at times want God to punish them. Can you imagine, God, they did this to me? They must go to hell. Let them die. God, revenge on my behalf. Yet God's revenge and his mercy. God, the way he deals with those difficult people is that he shows them mercy. You know, I was listening to a story of there's a woman who every time was going to pray, God, kill my husband. Because the husband went, took other women, you know, slept around and was always, and every time she prays that God kill this man, the man's businesses are increasing. The man is becoming more blessed. Until he said, okay. Then one day she said, okay, God, I forgive him. He's okay. He can do whatever he wants. That day she forgave him. The man died. God works in the opposite the way we understand. Because God does not want men to die. He's patient with men. He wants them to be saved. Jonah, on the other hand, is a normal human being. He wants judgment on people. You see, people will say, no, they should be judged. So that person that you think should not come for this, to the church or to the anniversary, invite them. Invite them. Let God work on their hearts until they come. Amen? Verse 6, and God prepared a plant for him, made it come over Jonah that it might be shed for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was grateful for the plant, but as morning dawned, the next day God prepared a worm. And so it damaged the plant that it withered, and it happened that when the sun arose, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head. Maybe he even didn't have hair, I don't know, maybe it was bad. Beat on his head, the wind and the sun, that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, it is better for me to die than to live. You see, he was sent away. He went to another country. He proclaimed judgment on them, and he wanted them to die. So the heart of man is always, people should suffer, people should receive their just punishment. You know that is how the devil works. Because you sinned, you must go to hell. You must be punished by God. But God also works the opposite. The heart of God is the heart of mercy. Amen. And verse 9, God said to Jonah next, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And he said, it is right for me to be angry even to death. Can you imagine God is asking you, is it right for you to be angry? This plant, I am the one who grew it. It covered you. And in the night, I'm the one that killed it with a worm. So why are you angry? He said, it is right for me to be angry, even unto the point of death. But the Lord said, you have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, the great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left and much livestock? Look at the heart of God. God is saying, you are just crying over this plant. How about a whole city full of 120,000 people? And look at how God described them. He said, they cannot discern. They don't have the ability to know right and wrong. So it's not even their mistake that they are in that religion. They don't know. They were brought into it. Even if you ask them what does it say, they don't know. They cannot distinguish right from wrong. Even the animals, God is concerned for the animals. And God says that you are worried about a plant. How about people? God loves human beings. God loves human beings. God loves your parents. God loves those people who have hurt you. God still loves them. In fact, many of them, that's what Jesus said when he was on the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. Many people, they don't know what they are doing. And at times, all you need to do is forgive them. Let them go. Leave them in God's hands. Not in the form of judgment. Me, I leave you to God's hand. God will punish you. No. In the form of that, if God may have mercy on you,
that one day you will see what you are doing was wrong. The heart of God is a heart of mercy. You know, when what do we learn from this? I've said that God desires all men to be saved. Amen? Every human being, God wants them to be saved. Your people in your office, your boss that is difficult, God still wants that man to be saved. Or that woman to be saved. That person that sucked you, God still wants them to know God. Even the wicked ones, there is no one that is beyond saving. Someone might be lost in drugs, in alcoholism, in immorality, but even that person, God wants them to be saved. God usually offers two things, judgment and mercy. To the people of Nineveh, he offered them two choices. Repent. Judgment is coming. But God prefers mercy. Honestly, no matter how far you have fallen from God, if you go, just come back to God, he will show you mercy. He will just forgive you. True repentance leads to God's mercy. I believe even Judas, if he had just repented, God would have forgiven him. God would have forgiven him. Peter denied Jesus three times, but he came back. True repentance will lead you to God's mercy. You know, God will always give you the choice. He says, choose today between life and death. But he tells you, choose life. Choose life. Choose Jesus. The third thing that we see from this story of Jonah is that God uses available men to do his work. Even those that are not ready. Was Jonah ready? No. Jonah was dealing with anger issues. Jonah was wanting to die. He's very suicidal. He's like, let me die. He is ready to fight God. He said, even if you kill me, it's fine. Throw me into the water. Let me die. It doesn't matter. God still uses people that are available. So never think that God will not use you because maybe you have not studied theology or you've not gone to school or you don't know English. God can still use you. If you just say, God, here I am, use me. I don't know how to talk to my friends. God will provide a day for you to talk to them. God is the one that qualifies the people that he calls. You know, there are two people who are redeemed in this. The people of Nineveh were redeemed, but also Jonah's heart was checked by God. So even you that minister to people, God is after your heart. There are things that God aligns. There is none of us that is perfect, but everyone, God is working on us, and God is working in our hearts. The fourth thing that we learn is that God shows great patience to all. The Bible tells us that God is long-suffering. He does not want any man to fail, any man to fall into death. God has patience. And if we are to understand love is patient, then if we are to love like God, then you know that God is patient with us. Even us, even in our faith now, it is because of the patience of God. God has shown us patience. Most importantly is our hearts. If us, we are going to be effective missionaries, if we are going to be effective servants of God, if we are going to be effective witnesses of Christ, we must have the heart of God for the lost. Ask God, God, give me a heart of love. Let me love these people who are unlovable. Let me love these people who hate me. Let me love these people who have disappointed me. When you have a heart of God for the souls, you will value people. You will value people. You will show them mercy. You will show them patience. And so the question that even as we close is, let us check our hearts. How do we respond to those people around us? Those guys who are continuing in immorality, continuing in sin, continuing in abuse, continuing in hurting you. Do we respond like Jonah, or do we respond with the heart of God? Let's take a moment and reflect on that word.